Sound On, Power On, your power electronics podcast, powered by PCIM Europe.
Hello everybody and welcome to the fourth episode of Sound On, Power On, your power electronics podcast powered by PCIM Europe. Today from the exhibition and conference in Nuremberg. My name is Marco Jung. I'm a professor for e-mobility and electrical infrastructure at the Bonn-Rhein-Sieg University of Applied Science at St. Augustin, as well as head of department converter and electrical drives at the Fraunhofer Institute for Energy Economics and Energy System Technology at Kassel. Both are located in Germany. Additionally, I am the chairman of the IEEE joint IES-IAS PELS German chapter. And today our technical theme is 40 years power electronics, a journey through time with a view into the future of switched mode power supplies. And this I will discuss with the Senior Director, Research and Development, Dr. Peter Wallmeier from Delta Energy Systems. Hi Peter, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So very warm welcome to our podcast here. And we are now sitting at the exhibition and conference. And so, Peter, for me and for our listeners, it is interesting to know a little bit more about you. And I saw you in your CV that your first contact with power electronics was during your study at the University of Paderborn. What was the state of the art of power electronics and what were presented at the lectures?
It was the beginning of power electronics at that time. We had a history of power electronics starting at that institute since 1982, and obviously switch mode power conversion was already in place and the first dissertations have been written in that topic. And that was the time of Mr. Clemente, international rectifier, EFP 450, large RDS on, large QRRs, lousy body diode. So, yeah, and then we basically spent our time and our research on circumventing these disadvantages of these devices and developed hard-switched and soft-switched circuits. Right. So that was basically my entrance point. Mm-hmm.
And this was during your PhD time?
No. It was kind of an accident, I would say, surprisingly accident in 1991, frankly speaking. There was a lot of activities around our sponsor, ABB Power Supply Systems. At that time, I think the name was at ABB CEAG in Soest, so it's a bigger company, developing custom design switch mode power supplies for data center infrastructure. And at that time, a lot of research was done on supercomputers, so 5-volt, 1,000 amps devices. And in that framework, the company spent quite a bit on research money and financed PhD students at the University of Paderborn. And I stepped into the office of such kind of a PhD student as a student. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me, hey, do you need a semester job? And I said, yes, I need a semester job. And then I was catched by him and did finite element simulations on resonant chokes. Yes.
Ah, great. So that was then your task later in the PhD?
No. So it was starting point. And the research topic was to circumvent switching losses of the basically lousy semiconductors at that time, and then develop resonant converters. And in these resonant converters, you have a soft switching of the power devices, but you have AC currents in the windings of the magnetics. I mean, still the same problem as today.
Yeah.
And to understand skin and proximity effects in the winding, and so all the parasitic effects of hysteresis losses and eddy current losses. That was basically the task at that time. And I started as magnetics design and analyst, I would say, in that institute, and then devoted my student thesis. Mm-hmm. At that time, I did a normal diploma at that university in Paderborn for inductive, for high frequency inductors, and then later on for high frequency transformers. And also my PhD was along the automated optimization of these magnetics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was basically, also, frankly speaking, everything was very related to magnetics, yeah? But then also extended then to circuit technology. Yeah?
And this you have later done in different companies or what?
Yeah, that's correct. So when I left the university, I spent 1 year. It was very hard to get a job at that time, 1994. It was very difficult. I worked at a startup company doing finite element and finite difference computing or field computing on parallel computers. And after 1 year, so it was a time also when the EMC directive was set up in 1995, when the power factor correction was requested, and you had the CE compliance of the information technology. And in that framework, anechoic chambers have been used. And for that, you needed finite difference algorithms in order to calculate the damping of these absorbers. And that was basically my task. And I returned after 1 year to the university because I decided to do my PhD and continued the high-frequency magnetics optimization and also circuit optimization of switch mode power supplies, always in conjunction with ABB CEAC.
Ah, great. So maybe for all our listeners, if we discuss about 1991, I was in the elementary school. So it's a really different time scale.
Now I get depressions here. Really, I get depressive. How time flies.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Okay, but I think let's come to our theme for today and go a little bit more deeper in discussion, and let us have a focus back to the other Sundown Power On podcast. And there we discussed future trends in power electronics, new semiconductor devices, and so on in the context of renewable energies. Mm-hmm. Now we want to have a look in the direction of loads, especially power supplies. Can you show or describe us where we come from?
Yes, for sure. So the origin of switch mode power conversion is mostly in the information technology. So that means computers, in the beginning, TV sets, so very simple stuff. And we started in information technology for computers for Siemens Nixdorf, if you maybe remember the name. So
yes,
Nixdorf computers in the late 80s, beginning of the 90s. And then there was Amdahl, Cray, and so basically the supercomputers requesting TTL technology, so 5 volts, and then thousands of amps in a water-cooled system. And that was basically our starting point. And you needed in this information technology applications always high-efficient, high-dense switch mode power supplies and conversions, basically converting from AC to 12 volt, 5 volt, 3.3 to the processor voltages. Ne? This application was the technology driver for basically my career. So still today, I mean, we started with below 90, with 85, some in the 80s efficiency, and now we are at 98% efficiency of power supply. So that was the course of development. And obviously, semiconductor technology, magnetics, packaging, everything contributed to that development, yes.
Mm-hmm. As I said, efficiency. I think efficiency is one of the key drivers for R&D in the present. What is the state of the art?
Like I said, the efficiency, so we have now the word ultra-efficient. It's high efficient is basically ending at 98%, and they are ultra-efficient converters. So you know the publications from the ETHZ, from Professor Kohler and his team, they have 99% efficient. And now we are approaching the 99, and I said always the limit is 100, okay? So there's no nothing beyond 100, but we are right now at 98% for our server power supplies. So the 3 kilowatt and 5 kilowatt units converting from single phase to 48 volt or 12 volt are in that range, and efficiency is always good, right? Because the losses is waste. I mean, and waste means there's a chain of waste, right? Until the generators, you know, until the coal-fired power plant or the nuclear power plant. You know, it's an addition of waste, and we should avoid this waste in order to save our climate.
True. And I think so for the people, the cost in this case.
Yeah, klar. It's always adding infrastructure costs.
And if we have the discussion now about this, but what are the main applications and what are the power ranges for them?
Yeah, that is also interesting. I mean, when I refer a little bit also to my keynote, is we started with IT equipment, right? This is still today key application, but the switch mode conversion has diverted to many, many fields, right? So the application field has tremendously increased, and we have today medical applications. So medical power supplies are all switched modes. We have wireless charging. We have mobility. So onboard chargers on electrical vehicles, they are all switched mode. And solar is switched mode. So it's everywhere is switched mode power conversion. I mean, your mobile telephone has an intelligent power management chip inside, which does all the chargers you use for your mobile equipment. It's driven by switched mode conversion technology.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I think for me and our listeners, it is not interesting only the state of the art. I think the future and the next steps are really interesting. In your presentation at the PCIM, you mentioned that the magnetics are the bottleneck for the next innovation steps. Please share us your thoughts about this.
So actually, as a magnetics engineer, it's very hard, because I'm a magnetics engineer who diverted in the switched mode technology. It's very hard to come to this conclusion. But when you look to this, to the development which has been done over the last 40 years on power semiconductors, and when you go down here into the exhibition, you see ultra-high efficient semiconductors, very low RDS on, almost zero charge with the GaN devices. But when you stop then at the magnetics manufacturer booth, you see that they're still fighting with the limits of materials. I mean, it's very hard to change copper and ferrite.
Yeah, I think so. That is would be the next steps. And I think it's really necessary for next innovations.
Yeah, I think when you look back now, so the last 10 years, so now we move from silicon to silicon carbide to gallium nitride. It's all new material. But when you look to magnetics, the materials haven't changed. You still talk about ferrite. You don't talk about a new name, right? So I would expect a new name for a material, for a core material. We have amorphous and nanocrystalline, but you see they are still limited in increases of switching frequency at reduced core losses. And for me, it's when I wrote this, and when you reflect on yourself, it gets more and more evident that the investments have been done in billion-dollar factories, this Wolfspeed silicon carbide factory in close to New York. Everybody's investing in semiconductors. But what about the magnetics? I don't see that, frankly speaking.
I think so. Nobody wants to spend a lot of money in this area, but I think they must do it in the future. And I think one main reason and the problem is now there must speak two different cultures. Yeah. Chemistry and power electronic engineers, and maybe they have other thinking in this area.
Yeah, as we talk, I mean, the power semiconductors are made by physicists. And when I worked for Infineon, and when I talked to a diode developer or an IGBT developer, it has been different worlds, because I have to explain to him, hey, I need less QRR, and he was telling, I had to change this and this doping, and I have to change the implantate and the structure of the diode. But in semiconductor business, I mean, material science physicists have spent really a lot of effort in order to make new materials and with much better capabilities and properties. And in magnetics, I don't see that, frankly speaking. I think that's an observation I make now more clearer than ever.
They must speak together.
Yeah, genau. And why there is not so much investment into magnetics is a little bit a question to me, because in the end, for the semiconductor manufacturers right now, also this becomes a blocking point. For the UPSs, definitely there is this classical rectifier and inverter conversion, which you have in the classical UPSs. They have now this eco mode. They basically bypass this two-stage power conversion and have some clever ways to manage, on the one hand, the power factor correction and the power security on the protected line. And that is a kind of a trick, to boost the efficiency in normal grid operation by around about 3%. But when it comes to online operation, then these converters are active, and then obviously the classical technology advances like silicon carbide, gallium nitride devices, multi-level technologies, soft switching. You also find this in the UPSs, right? Mm-hmm. And especially three-level power conversion. The Vienna rectifier is very famous there. So, and together with new components, they increase the efficiency up to 98% per stage. And then a normal UPS has 96-97% online efficiency. When you bypass it, obviously it's 99 or plus. Yeah, this eco mode, which is promoted. But then you are directly connected to the grid. And then your AC to DC power supplies, which we produce, are also connected to the grid, so directly. So the requirement for surge and burst and anomalies on the voltage, on the supply voltage, gets higher for us due to this eco mode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do you think? Typically, UPS, they have the storage system is a battery. But maybe in the future, we have a look and discuss it in the past too, using hydrogen or maybe using local integrated renewable energy. What do you think about? Is it a possibility for the future to integrate it in one system, in UPS system?
I think so. There's companies doing that already. So as demonstrators, there's one company, Proton Motors, doing this, and they have fuel cells and integrates this into UPSs as an example. And we are also working on that new data center structures involving fuel cells and battery storage for sure. No. Also larger battery storage, replacing then the diesel gen sets.
Yeah, so for fuel saving and so on.
Yeah, genau, and for long-term storage, because normally a battery in a UPS just bridges the time when the diesel gen sets turn on, right? And a few minutes. And this is now extended, so the trend is to leave out the gen set and extend the size of the battery by using lithium ion.
Mm-hmm. And due to an expected future penetration of renewable energies, I think in the future, power electronics, coupled loads, especially power supplies, must provide more system services too. Is the industry already feeling the need there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so we call it grid-friendly power supplies, and so that you potentially, when the grid requires reactive power, that reactive power generation or consumption is provided by the power supply, by the load. Ne? So that basically the load supports the grid when the frequency starts to escape, ne? Or the amplitude of the voltage starts to escape or fluctuate, I would say.
So you see it's requirements for the future, but exists there some products on the market right now? So for loads, yeah, not for generators, that's clear.
Yeah, generators is clear. So there is the, when you call it the 61,000 3/2 and 3/4 for power factor correction and low THDI, I would consider that already as a standard deloading the grid from ugly reactive power and harmonics. Ne? And then having the intelligence to that the load looks to the voltage which it's been supplied with and shifts the phase between voltage and current. We see that already in the requirements for onboard chargers. So we have to comply with that so that we can shift current and voltage during loading. And the load adaptation, I think I'm not really aware if there's a standard already in, but we see that for the dynamic and static load management in charging parks, that's kind of that thing, right? So you have a load, and this load makes sure that the point of common coupling, so where the feed-in point is not overloaded, either by dynamic tracking or static maximum power level is not exceeded. It goes into the direction.
We see it, I think, for huge or big loads maybe in the future there is really the, it's really needed, let's say, maybe for hydrogen production or so on with big rectifiers for electrolyzers. Maybe there's a possibility that the requirements are still increasing. Yeah, we see it in the past in the photovoltaic, let's say, started with Cosinus V1. But then later, step by step, they must have or must provide more and more. And I think so. If you decrease really heavy centralized power generation to renewable energies, so I think there's a must to do something like this.
Yeah. Direction. I mean, these electrolyzers, they should work when we have too much renewable energy in the grid, right? So when the grid voltage starts to increase and when the frequency starts to increase as well. Yeah, so that's kind of additional load. And this overall integration of renewable energies in the grid, that is really a matter of a couple of research institutes. And actually, we had a nice, on this third 40 years anniversary, where I did this look back, we had a very good contribution from Professor Jan Cern from Rensselaer University in the US. And he was telling that when you want to integrate renewables, mm-hmm. there is a problem of this missing inertia, right? So you have the synchronous generators. The flying wheel could provide that. And what I want to say is for everything is a solution when you have kind of engineers and engineering mindsets analyzing the problem and then defining or searching for a solution. I think it's doable.
Yeah, I think there exists a lot of research at my institute too. So grid forming inverters that they have or can provide a large virtual inertia too. Yeah. So still working, because in the past, let's say, a lot of knowledge you got from island grids. Yeah, because everything is smaller and you have a lot of knowledge, and now it's really important, yeah, to transport it to the interconnected power grid.
Yeah, I remember there was a demo project Insel Pelvorm. I think that was one where when I worked for AG Power Solutions, we did investigated this power islands, yeah? So making sure that we have battery storage, diesel gensets. Unfortunately, diesel gensets. So today it would be fuel cells, and with gas feed in. Yeah, and photovoltaic to make really a renewable and CO2 neutral supply. I think that's also encouraging for young engineers.
But I think that is a really big topic for the next episodes of Sound On, Power On, because I think we can discuss more than 1, 2, 3, 4 hours.
Absolutely, yeah.
But what we will see from Delta in the future, I think that is really important for our listeners too.
Okay, so I can recommend to go to our webpage at first, because then you can see the wide variety of Delta products. And actually, Delta has its... I have to go to the last page of my presentation, because then I get here the... It's smarter, greener together. That's our slogan. And from the beginning of the foundation of Delta, so it was founded in 1971 by Bruce Chen, it was always magnetics, switch mode conversion, and then diverting in all kinds of application areas. And today, I think Delta is covering everything what you talked about. So we have energy storage solutions, we have fuel cell solutions, we have UPSs, data centers, switch mode power conversion, all kinds of things, industrial. So go to our webpage and then you see the full variety of it.
Great. Yeah. So I hope we can work together in the future. Okay, Peter, thanks for your statements. It was really great, and enjoy the conference and the exhibition. Thank you.
Thank you. I will.
To all the listeners, wherever you might be, yeah, thank you very much for listening. We hope you have enjoyed today's episode and have gained some valuable insights. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, which is available on all major podcast platforms. If you would like to share your feedback with us, please do so via an email to podcast-pcim@misago.com.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sound On, Power On, powered by PCIM Europe. Do subscribe and share.